family-owned shop in Loganville, so is Viz Garage for all your automotive repair needs. We service all makes and models, foreign and domestic. We repair engines, alternators, brakes, alignments, AC systems, and more, using certified technicians with over 90 years of combined experience. We also offer same-day service for some repairs. Sosby's Garage, 200 Bay Creek Road in Loganville. Dependable, honest, and fair. Look us up on Google or Facebook. We'll take good care of you.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio inside the Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel, it's time for Case in Point, presented by Paradigm Security Services. We are the cornerstone of security in the Southeast.
Good morning, Vietnam. I don't know. I've always wanted to say that. Welcome to Case in Point, presented by Paradigm Security Services. I'm your host, Rick Strawn, the president of Paradigm Security Services. We're excited to be with you once again today on Business Radio X. We're broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio, located in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel here in Duluth, Georgia. In addition to Paradigm Security Services, this show is also brought to you, as you got by the clip coming into it, Sosby's Garage. John is still looking for master mechanics. He just can't get enough of them. He's growing so fast. You want to work with somebody that is honest, or you want to take your car to somebody that's honest, that you can count on to do what needs to be done and nothing else, go see John Sosby there in Loganville. It's 200 Bay Creek Road in Loganville, Georgia. On every show, we feature businesses, organizations, and people in the Atlanta area, especially those that serve Gwinnett County. While all businesses have some kind of security issues, not all are about physical security. And we'll touch on that and other related aspects of security as we go through the course of our shows. Of course, one of the things that is big today is talking about security is the security of our nation and where we go when we're doing our elections. And election time is just right around the corner. This coming Tuesday, we've got a big election day. We need everybody to get out and vote. But remember what I always tell you. It is absolutely important to vote, but it's even more important to vote informed. Know where these people stand, know what their views are, know what their positions are. Don't take other people's word for it. Do your reading, do your research. Reach out to the candidates and ask them where they stopped on these positions. And you'll find that a lot of things that you have heard are not true, and that's both good and bad. Our guest today, I am pleased to have Mr. John Sabat, and he is running for the Gwinnett County Commissioner in District 2. John, great to have you here.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for having me.
I tell you, I've been watching all of your stuff on Facebook, and I thought, you know, I got one more Wednesday before the election. Let's see what we can do about getting him on here and letting him talk to the voters and the people and see what he has to say. Now, your district, looking at your stuff, is Lilburn, surrounding area of unincorporated Gwinnett County. You want to lay out your district a little bit for us?
Yeah, it encompasses whole Lilburn area. It goes inside 85 over Norcross area, portion of Tucker, Snellville, South Snellville area only, portion of Stone Mountain area, Lawrenceville 30044, most of the zip code, but not all. And that's pretty much it. It's about 250,000 people, approximately 250,000 people, if you divide it in four.
That's a lot of folks.
Yes.
I know people can probably hear your French accent.
Yes.
Where are you from?
Fortunately,
John?
For me, yes. I came to this country from former Yugoslavia. The former Yugoslavia fell apart in the 90s, if you remember that crazy Balkan War. We split into six different the republics now. That one that I was living in is Bosnia. Bosnia, I'm Croatian, nationality from Bosnia, born in Slovenia, which is too complicated for most of the people, you know, to understand. But let's just say former Yugoslavia, Bosnian.
I tell you, that's a long way to come over here to try and make a new life. And I know you weren't one of these kids that came over here at a kid's age. You actually came over here in your 20s.
Yes, I came here. I was 25 years old. I survived war by then. I survived refugee camp and everything that come with the war, you know. Big problems after the war, you know. but I came here, made my life here. Came 1998, found a job, and it was saved my life basically. You know, probably for right now, I don't know what I would be doing. You know, all these years if I stayed there. Came here, found a job, started working. Everything started, toward the good. Made my life, you know, purchased my house, purchased, you know, got married, have three children, and wow. American dream.
You know, and that's exactly right, the American dream. That's what people aspire to get to come over here from other countries legally. And, you know, then you get over here, you do that, and then a lot of the politicians start talking about turning it to socialism, which is, you know, that's where people leave from over there to come over here to get away from that, and then our systems and stuff start talking about it. But I'm sure we'll talk about that as we move through this and your positions on that. I tell you, one of the biggest things right now, of course, one of the top is the economy. And there's a lot of different things that deal with the economy, both with inflation and all that. And along with that comes in, of course, you know, all the ways of paying for it and doing that. Kind of tell us where your position is on where we're at with our economy, what your approach would be to help out, because, you know, you're the close to home. You're right here in Gwinnett County, and the local level of people that are dealing with this in our government, a lot of people think it's so important about the Congress and about the Senate and all that, but, you know, people don't realize that our county commissioners and the people at the local level have really a lot more that actually affects our life in a lot of ways than do the national and state. So tell us kind of a little bit about your positions and what you would do and what you see the economy doing here in our county.
Yes, first just about inflation. You know, inflation when where I came from, we had a high inflation before war. We had actually inflation is not the cause of the war, but then it came hyperinflation. After hyperinflation happened, people lose jobs. People have so much time to think about all of these things and do stupid things. And that's how things go wrong from 0 to 100 miles an hour. You know, very wrong, in wrong direction. So I would like to prevent that if possible at all. So we need to get that in order, inflation, before it turns into hyperinflation. Here locally, we need to stop crazy spending, these enormous study that we do here and study there and study here, study there, transportation, all of these things. We just do studies, but it doesn't account for anything. I mean, if the studies, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, if the study before for transportation worked out, we wouldn't be doing it again. So we can't just be doing studies. We need to figure out how to stop that spending, get people, our taxes, property taxes are going way too high now for our residents, maybe not for residents that moving here from different locations, from up north or California, but for our residents that spend most of their life here, it is too high already. We have high taxes. We need to stop the rise of the property taxes here, or if we can, we go down. We had that chance. We missed that chance. When we had more extra money in our budget, we didn't do it. Now we have to try to do it if I'm elected. It's not going to be maybe possible for first 2 years until once we elect the our chair, hopefully in 2 years, then we have to step harder on it. But I'm hoping that we can do that even within 2 years, you know, this administration. We need to do that. We need to stop spending. We need to figure out where the money is going. Why are we paying most of the taxes than ever before, and we have least done with these taxes. We have 150 policemen, positions open. We cannot fulfill these positions. We need to figure out why. Where the missing link here? You know, so stop spending on these big items. You know, even the we talked earlier about it, the Gwinnett Place Mall. You know, we purchased the mall for no particular reasons. If you go around and talk to people in my area, They just don't understand why did we purchase more at the first mall in the first place. I'm not talking that the mall is not the problem. I'm just talking why the county had to purchase the mall. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. That's kind of spending we need to stop. We need to allocate money where it belongs. We need to start solving our traffic problems. because we are choking our county. As you know, you cannot go anywhere anymore without spending, like, allocating an hour to go from one side to the other side of the county. You know, you have to allocate an hour to just go there.
No, so
we need to start pooling this money from different locations and be more efficient with everything, with every department in the Gwinnett County have to start being more efficient. Does that mean we lay off 10% of the people and they find that efficiency, or we do it other ways? I don't know. But we have to allocate money toward traffic and transportation. I mean, not the transportation, but the infrastructure problems.
Yeah, infrastructure is a big one right now. The federal government, of course, passed this infrastructure bill, and they haven't accomplished a damn thing with it. I do know they created some heated sidewalks, which was just amazing that, and of course, the people, like what you're talking about, had absolutely no use for heated sidewalks. They're wondering why all that money was spent, and there's so many ways it could have been spent better. One of the big things right now on the ballot is the T-SPLOST. Do you have a particular position on the T-SPLOST?
No, I don't. I don't have a position on it. I think our residents are too smart, much smarter than I am, to decide if they want to vote it for it or against it. I know it's going to be a disaster if it doesn't pass, but at the same time, I know the vague explanation where the money is going to be spent is not, people are not going to buy it. You know, we need to specifically, if we are going to pass the SPLOST, we need specifically say where that money is going to go, what project is going to be financed, and basically how do we plan to spend that money and when. Is it going to, because we still have money from 2014 and 2017, I believe, whenever it passed, or 2018 SPLOST. So we didn't even spend that money. I'm not going to tell our residents to vote for it or against it, because I am on the fence myself. I believe that our residents are much smarter than I am. They live here for a long time. They know what the SPLOST is. They know what we spend, how the money is spent. So let them decide. I will basically, whatever, if I'm elected, whatever that resident decide, yes or no on the SPLOST, I will work with it.
That's a good, honest answer.
Yep.
And I didn't mean to say T-SPLOST. That was one of the other ones, but just the SPLOST.
I understand.
For the education and everything. But, yeah, I appreciate your honesty there. Not supporting or denying, just bottom line is you'll work with however the people voted.
Indeed.
I think that's something that we lose a lot of times is we get in here, our politicians get in here, and they preach a lot about certain things, about supporting the way the people vote, and then, you know, because that's who's electing them, and then they don't do that. They don't support what's best for the our particular or their particular people that have voted for them. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting.
That's a typical politician. You know, I'm not a politician yet. You know,
well, I hope you don't get one, there.
once I get elected, you know, I'm still not going to be a politician. Okay, this is not what I do. I work for the company. I work for a civil engineering firm. We basically design water plants all over the United States. So I am also a certified project manager. But what we do, we define the problems, and then we solve the problems. We give a solution to the problem with no politics in between. Okay, that's basically what we do every single day. I'm one of the top four employees in the company out of 1,700 employees.
I was going to ask you what you do for a living.
Yes, in terms of efficiency, I'm always in the first five, top five.
So basically, look at it, assess it.
You have to define the problem.
Define the problem.
So you can't go anywhere without defining the problem. And that brings me to this school problems now, safety school problems, you know, that people meet and people talk about it and they go on the Facebook and they blame each other and why is this happening? You can't do anything about it unless you define the problem. What the problem is, start with that. You know, going and talking to people and people give their opinions, you know, yeah, that's valuable. But if you don't do anything about it, it doesn't really matter, you know. And people are not going to just go out all the time and give their opinion, you know. You need to define what the problem is before you can even start crafting solution for it.
Now, that makes a lot of sense, because I know a lot of people are quick with solutions, but they really don't have an idea of what the true problem is, what the root cause is.
Nope.
We've got our vice president running around trying to find out what all the root causes for the immigration problem was. The problem is the immigration is a problem. Let's figure out, and that's a real easy solution.
It's not the only vice president. Whole administration is a nonsense administration that I just don't even know how they function from day to day because it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, if you look at their functions, it's not consistent day to day, so they're not really functioning.
Because it's not based on the common sense. Correct. You know, you can have the most educated people in most everywhere in the system. You can put the most educated people, PhD people, who've been in college all their lives, and you put them in there, and they just don't have any common sense.
No,
you know, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah, and a lot of the problems, such as the border and such as the economy with fuel and all that, this is not difficult to see what the issues are. It's not really difficult to figure out what the solutions are, but if those solutions don't fit your agenda, then they're no longer solutions that are workable.
That's right.
And, what I like about the local getting down to the grassroots, like with the commissioner, you don't have so much worry about the solutions for the higher level issues. We worry about the root causes for the issues here at a county and a personal level, and we try to solve ours. And you know, the funny thing is, if enough of those local levels solve those problems, it kind of filters up to the problems that are up there at the top.
That's right. It should.
Absolutely. Same way with the votes. You mentioned the property taxes. How do we stop the rise in property taxes and what do we do to deal with
it? It's not how. It's basically the elections have consequences, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you elect Democrats and they want property taxes to go up, the property taxes go up, right? It's a simple
as that.
Yeah, you have four hands or five hands, whatever you have. And you raise your hand, and the property, if it's yay or nay, and that's pretty much it. There's nothing there you can do about it. So people vote, and we have to respect that. People voted Democrats last time. They raised our taxes, and all of the other problems, you know, the safety issues and everything else. And now if people vote again for these same people, we have to live with it. That's just how it works. But now we have two people running for the county commissioners. One is Matthew Holcomb, he's running up north,
right.
and John Sabik that is running south district. So we are hoping to flip Gwinnett 2-2, not flip Gwinnett, but at least give out two Republican, two Democrats, and then we have a chair that is Democrat, and she can do flip whatever she wants anyway. But
she's
on the ballot. Another two commissioners are on the ballot in 2 years, so you will have your chance then. But for right now, I'm not going to raise my hand for a taxes, higher taxes. So what I will do, I will try to find efficiency. Number one, not the taxes up, efficiency first. Number one, what do we have to do? I don't know. We have to look at every department. You know, is there something we can do with innovation to maybe get down number of people that work for county? We have to look at everything, you know. All of these boards, commingling with the business outside or the special interest or the civic organization need to go, okay? It all need to stop. Once you start there, commingling, you know, then you find lots of money there, you know.
We have a lot of waste.
We have a lot of waste.
Yeah, Matt is Matt Holcomb is the one that's running in my district.
Yes,
and I've already voted for him.
Good.
So this one, you know, speaking of vote, this is one of, and I'll just tag this in here, and we'll talk about something else. But you know, the last few years, I voted. I'm 71 years old, and so I voted at a lot of elections.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first period since the last couple of 3 years that I have ever been concerned that if I voted early, that there was any concern at all about whether it was going to get counted or whether it was going to actually make it down there to the final tally. And I don't like that feeling. And I think there's a whole lot of us that feel that way. You know, maybe it's just the way I feel because of all the hype around it. But from everything I've seen and everything I've, you know, have heard, and I have done a little research because I'm in the security field, you still get that twinge in your gut of, is it, you know, do I vote early or do I just do it on the day? So
yes, I can tell you, unfortunately. Unfortunately, you have to think about it. I don't know. Yes, you're right. When you go around and talk to people, there is a lot of concerns out there. I cannot tell people this is what happened, that's correct, or I cannot tell people, no, that's not correct. I cannot say any of these because I don't know. You know,
well, I don't think anybody really does.
Yes, unfortunately, we came to that level where we have to question it. But for all of our Republicans out there, we need to come out in droves.
Yes.
We need to overwhelm the system. So there's no chance that anyone can do anything about it. So that's my message to people. Don't just think I'm not going to vote or I'm going to vote, but I'm going to write the name down, because I hear all these stories when I go out. And then just remember, I've been walking neighborhoods since early May. I met a lot of people. I work on the handshake. I talked with all the crazy left to the crazy right, what they called, you know, under the, you know, quotation. I'm not saying this, but this is what people called, you know. And there are all kind of different concerns. Our Republicans, there are some of our Republicans that say, I'm going to vote, but I'm going to write the name down rather than voting for some of our candidates. Don't do it.
No, so that's exactly
what
they,
exactly. You'd better stay home, because that's exactly what they want you to do. Other ones say, I'm not gonna vote early. But what if you go on the election day and you don't really feel like it, or something happens? You know, the best case scenario, you vote today, from today to Friday, and then vote on the election day. You know, if you waited this long, that's okay. You know, but we need to come out. We need to overwhelm the system basically with our votes.
Well, the important thing is to vote.
Yes, we try to squeeze, me personally, every single vote out there. And I will still try it for these next 5-6 days to do that.
Well, we need of all of our Republicans doing that, getting out there. I always say knocking on the door and meeting a person eye to eye and asking them for your vote. It's the surest way of getting that vote, because I've recommended people to family members and they were going to vote for them and they actually didn't vote for them because that other person came to the door, shook their hand, talked to them a minute, and asked them for their vote.
Yes, yes.
So it definitely makes a difference.
Unfortunately, I cannot knock on every door. But what I do, I go knock on the door. Whenever I knock on the door, I make that person part of my campaign, because I didn't have any campaign team. My campaign team is me. Just here, you're looking, one, just one. So when I go around, I put about probably 500 signs myself. I'm asking for help lately. Some people help me with it. There are some very good people that helping me lately. But first 500 signs, it's all on me. I put all of it. Unfortunately, I cannot go and knock on every door. But whenever I go, I tell them, you are in your street or your neighborhood right here. You know your neighbors. You talk to your neighbors. You tell
Absolutely.
Them that John came over. He introduced himself. This is what he stands for. And then ask them to do the same with their neighbors. And that is how I operated in the field.
Well, yeah, and when I say knocking on the door, I mean, you know, that's the way I'm talking about, because there's no way you can knock on $250,000.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to happen. Well, another big issue is crime.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, well, we don't have all that big issue of crime in Gwinnett. Well, yeah, we do have an issue with crime. And in Gwinnett County, there's an issue with crime everywhere. So I know we have our share of gangs that are not talked about. We have a lot of police vacancies, as you mentioned. I know a lot of the police officers. I know a lot of the people in the upper echelons and deputy chiefs and so forth. Got friends there. And, you know, you talk about the broken window theory. And I can tell you from being a cop in the past, that is something that is absolutely real. The perception of not keeping it up, the perception of not being hard on crime, not keeping up your neighborhoods, that perception spills over into reality. So
that's correct. I'll
hear you talk a little bit about where you see the issues as far as crime, crime prevention, those type of areas in Gwinnett County.
Yeah. Yes, I'm a big proponent of the fix it before it become the issue. You know, human beings are all the same everywhere you go. It doesn't really matter where you go. It's just our response is what how do we respond to that? If you, same with the schools, children in schools, you know, you give them a little bit, you know, you don't solve that first problem.
Absolutely.
You don't solve that second problem. You don't solve that third problem. All of a sudden, now you have code red, right?
From the our expectation officials. Is nothing will be done.
Yeah. So now we have code red from our leaders, right, in the Gwinnett County. Code red. Why code red if there wasn't any problem? You know, why are you trying to say there's no problem with crime? There's no problem with this, and all of a sudden now you have code red. Well, that is the same story with the inflation on the national level. When everyone year before the inflation started, everyone was saying no before Ukraine. Ukraine wasn't even there in the picture. Everyone was saying, start rising the taxes or we're going to have inflation. We didn't act in time. We waited for a year. We waited for a whole year to start doing that. What are we doing now? We're killing everything. Yep. We have to kill the economy to be able to get inflation down. And guess what? What if that's wrong? What if we kill the economy, inflation doesn't go down?
Yeah,
just absolutely. Think about it. That's on the national level. Let me go back. Let me come back very quickly to the to our. I'm just comparing the two. What how you make mistakes? Mm-hmm. If you don't act, when you see the problem, that problem will accumulate. Broken window theory say, fix it. If you see the broken window in the first house in your neighborhood, fix it, or call someone, or do something with it.
Get
you know,
rid
otherwise
of the graffiti.
That's right. That's right. You erase it, you call someone, erase it, and then we move on. We need to put more lights, for example. You know you are in security. You know if there is a dark places and stuff like that, you put more light, you have less chances to the crime. So I'm going to be big on the crime prevention. So that's where the police, extra police come from, not necessarily to detain people all the time, but visibility. Visibility, perception. The perception matters a lot. If there is a criminal coming from DeKalb County or Atlanta, and they driving up and down the street maybe once, twice, three times, every week maybe once. They're checking areas around. You know, they don't see any police anywhere. Nobody's stopping them. Without tags, they drive without tags, maybe wrong tags, paper tags, whoever, whatever it is. You know, they come, they check the area, they see there is no police. What do you think is going to happen next?
Exactly.
Now multiply this.
Yeah.
Now from one, multiply it to 80 or 100, and you will see what happened. So the perception matters a lot. When I go down the road and I don't see police for a month, 2, 3 months, my perception is I don't feel secure anymore. From the criminal perspective, perception is, oh, well, there's no police. I can do, you know, more.
What I want to do.
I can do more here. You know, whatever it is. Is it more drugs? Is it more crime? Is it more the trafficking, human trafficking? Whatever it is, their perception will be, I can do more. My perception is going to be, I feel less secure. Where do I move? How you know, do I sell my house right now or next month? How do I wait for my kids to finish the school? Or do I do now? So just think about it. Everyone needs to think about it. We need to start solving the problems when we see the problems, not when it's too late. We need to be ahead of the curve.
Totally agree. I know a lot of people don't realize that proper lighting, very visible lighting, is one of the number one ways to help prevent and deter crime.
Yes, I studied it. Yeah. I had an A in the subject.
Absolutely, and that's the way for instance, when we do our patrols within the CID, one of the things that we have every week is a lighting report of the lights out, the lights that need to be fixed, the ones that have been replaced. And Glenn with the GPCID as well, in particular, he is right on top of it. Boy, he better get that light report. And mm-hmm. I don't blame him.
Yes.
That is very important to know what these lights are and what our situation is out
yes.
there. Public perception of safety is, you know, the visibility of, like you say, police officers, but just visibility at night
mm-hmm.
And the constant movement of traffic.
That's right.
Because that also, one of the big things that is, it's big. I mean, we're on 85, and human trafficking is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of human trafficking moving, you know, a lot of it's moving through.
Uh-huh.
But there's it's initiated some here in our county. And the biggest thing we can do is get rid of that broken window and start paying attention. See something, say something.
That's right.
It's very important for these people.
That's
it's
right.
An old adage, but it's still very, very important. I know that one of the things that you mentioned earlier is dealing with the high density in our population and in our construction and so forth. You know, not just with apartments, but, you know, in particular with apartments, because they are the ones that are the highest density and try to cram so many people in. Your positions on the what we deal with high density, your thoughts on it. Yeah, it creates tax money,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, it brings other issues, too.
Yes.
So let's hear about your positions on this, dealing with the density issues in our county.
Yes, it does. It does create tax money, but you have to understand that it brings. Just think about this: it brings extra tax revenue, while the taxes are still going up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So think about it. If you're doing one, then you don't have to do the other one, or vice versa. If you bring enough money, you keep the taxes or lower the taxes, rather than, especially with high density, you're already putting high density where the infrastructure is already existing infrastructure. So you don't have to spend money there for that. So you would, so common sense would be, okay, I approved, 5-10 years, what they did, 10 years worth of the apartments right now. Or common sense, the tax should go down because now we have more tax revenue, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not. Your tax is going up. So that's just a sideline issue, right? The number one issue with high density developments, especially apartments. So I am proponent at this point only for mixed use developments, specific areas, not widespread mixed use developments, because that's kind of best case scenario when you're talking. When you have apartments, you just have apartments. You have 700. Apartments, for example, in Duluth, I see approving. They approved 700 apartment units. How many people? I don't know. How many cars? I don't know. Is it 1,400 cars? Mm-hmm. Is it 1,400 people, or is it 21,000 people? If you have three residences, for example, in each apartment, I don't know what it is. But just think about it: when you approve one corner 700, and you have three more corners left, right, on one corner. So how these people go to work in the morning? How they come back? How do they go to the store? So they clog everything in that area, and then we suffer. And who suffers? Current residents. So they build these high-density developments at the expense for the future residents, at the expense of our current residents, right? You pay taxes. You did all of this. You've been good guy. You've been good mom, doing everything proper, but then now that some commissioner comes and they approve 10 years worth of the apartments in 1 year. So we need to stop. We need to stop, not because we don't like the business, not because we don't like developers that don't have to do anything. It's just we like much more our residents that live here. That's it. Our residents that pay taxes. So now we the single family residences are fine. Wherever there is the place for them, but it's not high density. The apartments, if I have my say, if I'm in Hall Gwinnett County tomorrow, I would do some kind of moratorium, at least 5 years moratorium on apartment to start with. Not because, again, we don't need apartment, because we approved already 10 years worth of apartments. And then we need to recover from that now. We need to figure out how to do that. We need to figure out how to solve traffic problems before moving any further with this. So the traffic lights, middle lanes in some of these roads, bridges, mm-hmm. over the main overpasses, underpasses in some cases, we need to look at seriously underpasses, because the technology is getting cheaper, and I've been talking about this many, many times. Technology is getting cheaper to drilling, boring under rather than going over. So we have to just figure out where we stay with that. But we need to stop first. We can't keep building like this and hope the traffic is going to get better. The problem, I think where what these people think, all the roads lead to Marta. And if you just choke everything, people just not going to have a choice but vote for Marta. And that's where what I think is going on.
Well, so what I hear from you, and I can't say I disagree, is basically step back, hold your breath for a minute, count to 10, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Take a good look at it, and then how you said earlier, you assess the problem.
Yeah.
And then you deal with it to find a solution.
We define problem already. Everyone knows what the
exactly.
problem. I mean, if you ask 90% of the Gwinnett County residents, if you can vote tomorrow on high density development, they will vote. Maybe even more. I'm just saying because I talked with the Republicans and Democrats on the issue, and I cannot find one single person that say yes.
Yep, I hear it loud and clear. So, you know, it's take a breath and look at it. And then make your decisions of what you want to do and how to deal with it moving forward.
Yes, we have a 2040 plan that they are calling on. They're calling that plan is very vague. The plan is made. It just say high density developments. The vague on in the so also the plan is saying that the half more million people going to move here by 2040, right?
Right.
Where is that number coming from? Did anyone tell you?
No.
No, nobody told you that. Because they just pulled that number. And based on that number, they say, okay, this is what we need to do. We need to build high-density developments to accommodate these people. But my plan is, okay, we go back to the plan, 2040 plan, and we cut it in half, and then we start talking from there, okay? That's what the right solution is to that 2040 plan.
Sounds
you adjust the plan.
Yep. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about? We're getting right down. I think really kind of the last question was you bring up a lot about the traffic problems through the density, through the development and all that. And one of your solutions is by adding basically more to the infrastructure first.
Yes.
So how do we do that?
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's
your
not
thoughts?
Well, yes. I don't know how do we do that until I assess the budget. I have the chance to go in to check the budget, see where the overlapping departments maybe can work, merge into one. Maybe there's just too much administration there. Maybe we need more money for the courts and more money for the infrastructure rather than spending money on the studies or spending money on many different things. I mean, we just have to go there. Someone have to take the fresh look, you know. Not just for past 2 years. We need to take a fresh look. We need to go back 15 years and look at everything, you know. Where did we go, you know? Where did we go wrong, you know, where people don't agree with any of this? And we are still just keep moving toward the same direction where people don't agree. So we need just to assess the situation, you know. I cannot tell you I'm a magician. I'm not a magician, you know. I'm not going to go there and just solve all the problems immediately. But the direction... Direction and the mindset is very important, where your mindset is. I spoke with our small business. They have many, many different problems right now. And that didn't even, it's not even accounting yet. It's not even in the system yet where you start seeing results. One of the guys told me that basically he put, when he had to submit the plan for these, even any development, you know, he told me that now they have to wait. They don't have a way to check if the county is looking at that plan. He said they just, you know, you have no idea. They're not working with you, basically. It goes to some guy over there. The guy is working from home, and your plan is in front of him. You don't know when you're going to hear back from him. You don't know when he's going to look at your plan. So the red tape needs to go down with other businesses. I talk with other our businesses, especially in the Lilburn area where I live, lots of businesses. And lots of individuals have a problem with code enforcement. I have to outline this. We need to bring our government back to people. This is number one thing that we have to do. Government back to people. These people in the administration need to understand who is paying their salaries. We need to, so that's the mindset that we have to change. That's the direction I want to do. Because a lot of people operate in my area, small businesses, for 30 or 40 years. Mm-hmm. Now, one specific case, the business equipment, you know, it looks nice when you go there. You know, you look at some areas have a problem, you know, junk cars and this and that, which need to be resolved, you know, nicely going mm-hmm. there, talking to people. But others are just the stories that you hear from these people, that telling the guy that his $100,000 equipment that he purchased should be proud of, financed through the bank, is the eyesore for the county person that comes over there. It's an eyesore. Just imagine that. The lady that's missing two pickets on her fence, top of the fence, not hold two pickets. They come and give her a letter, you know, to show up in court, and she wasn't home, so they call her. They said, we're going to send the sheriff over to give you the letter if you don't show up to take this letter. The whole street of the businesses have a problem. Just code enforcement coming, harassing, stamping on them. The poor people that pretty much did everything they asked them to do. They shut them down. They poor guys is the selling these lawnmowers, you know, on the side of the road, you know, every weekend, you know, and it's just a nice when you pass by, you see these lawnmowers on the weekend. He pulled them out. The weekend is over. He pulled them back in, and that's how he makes his living. His brother is cutting the grass. He has the small eight foot trailer. They told him he cannot have the trailer in front of your house, so he had to go park the trailer at his friend's house, in more friendly area. And so he can do his business. They shut down the guy with the selling the lawnmowers. You know that, you know, you've seen it in every community. Would say it's charming thing to see. The same people have to. They told them they have a barn, 60 years old barn in their backyard. They have to bring it down. Code enforcement said it's just eyesore. They said they have to bring the barn, which is charming for every community that I know of. Would be charming sight to see. They have to bring it down and burn it. So wow. These are kind of stories that you hear, you know, stamping on people, going around, telling people, even the pickup trucks, you know, the guy have a huge parking in the industrial area in Lilburn, and they came and told him he cannot park pickup truck in front of his building. Just imagine that, pickup trucks.
Sounds like somebody doesn't have a lot to do.
It looks like it. It sounds like it, but I talked with our commissioner about it, and he said, you know, that I'm surprised they're doing that because they have other things to do.
Exactly.
But it just seems like either the inexperienced people, they don't understand what a pickup truck, maybe they see a truck and they think pickup truck is a truck. You know, you cannot have it front. Or I have no idea. I want to believe that's what it is. I do want to believe that's what it is, just inexperience.
Sounds to me like basically what you're dealing with is just a total lack of communication.
Yes, completely. There's no going out and talking to people, resolving situation, but more order. Yeah. Ordering. It's like a country where I came from. It looks like a power grab. You know, I'm in power and you are nobody. And that's how it's when these people talk to you, you know, you need to invite some of these people in and talk to them.
Maybe they've been paying attention to the federal government and looking at them as mentors.
Yes, it seems like.
How do we get in touch with you? I know that I could go on and, you know, I could go on another hour talking to you about some of this stuff, but there comes a time when I got to wrap it up. If people want to get, we got 1 week to go. If people want to help you, they want to get out there. How do they get in touch with you?
So we don't have 1 week to go, though.
Well, that's true. We got six.
We have six days ago. In terms of voting, so we only today, rest of the day, and two more days. That's it, early voting. And then you have your final chance on November 8th. You need to come out and vote. You don't have right to bicker, you know, every day after this if you didn't vote. You need to go out to vote. We need to start solving some of these situations. We need good people. In these offices, I said that so many times. I'm going to say this again. We don't need Republicans in the office. We don't need Democrats in the office. First, we need good people in the office. You need to good people. Doesn't matter if they're Republican. If they're not working for you, they don't deserve it. We need Republicans, but we need good Republicans in the office. So you can go on johnforgwinnett.com, johnforgwinnett.com. To see if you want to read about me on the website, but I think you heard enough here. Facebook.com/ John for Gwinnett. Same, John, F-O-R, for Gwinnett. Put your input there. You know, I like to communicate with people on the Facebook page. You know, there's lots of people there. We communicate. people don't always say nice thing. I don't mind, you know.
People have their opinions.
People have their opinions. You can share your opinion. I don't really care where you're coming from, if right or left, or Trump or not Trump, or the crazy left or crazy right, or anything in between. You know, I'm okay with that. You have to write. You have your right to share what you think about the whole situation. I will represent you regardless. I want people, you know, on the Republican side to vote for me 100%. If you go out and vote 100%, I need your vote, you know. But if we don't vote, you know, we have just to live with the numbers. That's what the numbers say, you know. But I think we have numbers. I think Gwinnett County is not lost. I think we have 70% probably conservative in Gwinnett County. I would say minimum. We just need to get these people out. We need to get people to vote. Yes.
Yep. Yep. And again, people, don't just vote. Vote informed. Don't vote the way your daddy did, your mama did, your great-granddaddy did, your sister did, your brother did. Vote the way you want to vote based on your research and looking at these people and make your own judgment calls. Don't let other people tell you how to vote, and that's basically what you do when you let them basically vote one way and you just say, well, they voted that way, I'll vote that way.
Yeah, this is local election, yep. Right? This is you shouldn't be thinking about Washington D.C. When you vote locally, because these are not our mentors. Washington D.C. Washington D.C. mentality, Hollywood mentality need to be out, completely out of the local governments, completely.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, I want to tell you that thank you for joining us on Case in Point once again. Presented by Paradigm Security Services and in part by Sosby's Garage. Give John a call. Be sure to join us for the live broadcast every other Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. here on Business Radio X. If you miss the live broadcast, no worries. You can enjoy the show absolutely anytime you want by visiting businessradiox.com, selecting the Gwinnett Studio, and, of course, clicking on Case in Point. This program is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, really wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. Please be sure to subscribe to Case in Point by hitting that subscribe button. You don't want to miss any of our future episodes. For my guest, John Savitt, who is running for commissioner in the Gwinnett County on District 2, and our producer, Mike, I'm Rick Strawn, and remember, at Paradigm Security Services, we cover more than just your assets.